Good morning, Living Hope. Morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I love being with you every Sunday. I can't wait. I almost wish we could like speed up the clock, you know, and have like a big long Sunday. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, let's make our work week to only 4 hours a day and let's make the weekend twice as long. Okay. But I love worshiping the Lord and I love being with you. You know, this morning, I want to talk to you about some things that are about today. You know, I love reading the Word. I love learning about the Word and what it means and how it applies to our life. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? I want to talk to you about something today. I want the Word to be for today. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to be for today. Good job. You know, there's a lot of things, the crazy things that happen all around the world, happening all around the world and happening here at home. The thing I think amazes me the most just recently is the number of sexual assault cases that have been coming public. I mean, in politics, in the media, in the music industry, in Hollywood, in sports, and now with the U.S. Gymnastic Association and the Olympic gymnastics. I mean, the U.S. Gymnastics Board was ordered to resign, and Michigan State AD quits. After all of this stuff, I mean, people are going down. This is not something that was like one little thing and one instance. This is stuff that goes on and on and on. And do you know that they're requiring, now get this, because this is part of the message, we're trying to hear this. They're requiring the directors to go to classes on ethics. They're requiring and saying that the culture needs fundamental rebuilding. Now, I'm not kidding you because I pulled this off the news feeds and I'm reading you what they wrote. Requiring and training members to report suspected sexual misconduct to legal authorities. Like we weren't supposed to do that before? Like it's just now where we're being trained. Implementing an abuse prevention training plan for members, parents, and athletes. Going to get educated about not being sexually misconduct. We're getting educated about it. Canelo, what are we thinking? What are they thinking? We have things like the Me Too movement. That thing is just blooming. We've heard stories of people doing dumb things. Robbing banks, setting buildings on fire, shooting people, assaulting people. And it seems like everybody in the world knows that they're going to get caught except the person doing it. Like you want to go, hello? What are you thinking? You know, I hear that almost every day when a parent has to meet with the school administration and teachers over their child's behavior. And on the way out the door, you hear the parent, while they have that child, grab by the arm. What are you thinking? What were you thinking?
I don't know.
Have you ever wondered why we struggle so much with our thinking? See, the Bible referenced, I referenced the word in the Bible, and it's different depending on what version of the Bible that you use as your source, but there is over 85 times that the word think shows up in the Bible. Now, that's not thoughts. That's not thinking. That's not ponder these things. It's none of those other words. Just the word think. Over 85 times we find it in the Bible. The Bible addresses the issue of thinking. And so I just want to give you a couple of examples. I'm going to read these. They didn't end up on a screen slide because I'm going to go through these quickly, okay? And this is not the main verse. I'll give you the main verse that you can write down and know what the message is based on. But I want you just to hear this. Psalms 119:52. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. You see, the word is true. And there's no problems when we're following the word. When we're in the word and that guides our lives, we don't have any issues. How about this one? Proverbs 21:2. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. Have you ever been around anybody in your life that's a know-it-all? somebody shout amen. Ezekiel 20, I don't want to know who, okay? But you can text me later. No, just kidding, just kidding. That's gossip. We don't do that. Ezekiel 28, 2. Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. But you are a mere mortal and not a god, though you think you are wise as a god. Do you know anybody that's a know-it-all that knows more about it than God? Knows more about God's word than God? How about Zephaniah 1:12? At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent. Ooh, don't be complacent. Who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. You know how many people I bump into that say things like, you know, the Lord doesn't care. He's not going to do anything anyways. You know, that's really sinning against the Lord. Oh, it don't matter. Nothing's going to happen. Know anybody like that? How about Luke 8:18? Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. How about this? I earned it. It's mine. That's my success. Look at all that I accomplished, and the next day they're dead. The next day, they don't even have what they work so hard for. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I don't have to follow the Old Testament. That's the Bible. That's not for today. Well, you know, the Word of God changes. It's kind of like we morph it into what we need. Have anybody ever say that to you? How about Matthew 6:7? And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard, for many are their words. Hey, you know, me and God, we're good. He's my homie. You know, we're like in. You know, I just like, you know, he ain't your homie. He's a living God. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. How about Matthew 9:4? But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody that's always thinking the worst of people in the worst of situations? Oh, it'll never work. Oh, that'll probably happen again. Oh, that person, they're terrible. They're this, they're that. Know anyone like that? How about Luke 12:51? Do you think that I have come to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. How many people you say, no, you know, God wants us all to be together and everything is just love in it. No, he says you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. You know what happens when you stand in the middle of the road? You get hit from the cars from both directions. There's no middle of the road. And just like we learned in that eternity class, don't deceive yourself to think that, you know, well, I'm good. We're good. No, you're either on or you're off. You're either with them or you're not. There's no game. You don't make the rules. You might be able to manipulate your life now, but you can't manipulate your life when you stand before the throne of God, because it ain't your rules. You won't even have a say. Your whole life, right there in front of you. Everything that you've ever said, everything you've ever thought, boom, right then and there. Your motive for every single thing. And then the Lord would say, is his name written in the book of life? And it's yes or no. It's either, thank you for playing. Next contestant, please. Or enter in to my presence. I jest only because I'm very serious about that. There are people that play with their eternity. How about this, Luke 13:2? And then he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Do you know that people use their own standard to judge everybody else instead of God's standard? Oh, well, he's a good person. Oh, he'll go to heaven. Really? Do you know their heart? Who's judging? You or the Lord? How about this one? John 5:39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. The word is good about Jesus. Is he just Jesus, the teacher, the prophet? You see, the word's good. There are people that say, oh, I believe the word. And Jesus was just a good guy. He was just a good teacher. He was a rabbi. He was a prophet. They don't see him as the Son of God. How about Romans 1:28? Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done.
If God is God, he wouldn't let me do the things I do.
Really? He gave you free will. He'll let you do whatever you want to do.
Well, why would he let me do harmful things?
Because maybe when you get to a place when you're done with yourself, so broken, so much in a gutter, spiritually, maybe even physically, that maybe then you'll turn to the Lord. Because your friends have told you about the Lord, but you ignore that. You think they're crazy. You see what I'm saying? He's talking about thinking. What are you thinking? Romans 12:3. For by grace given to me, I say that everyone among you do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned them. Do you know, I had a boss at one time who couldn't give the time or day or be nice to a custodian or the person that shoveled the walkway because they had so many degrees, they were better than them. Look what I've done with my life. Look what you've done. You don't even deserve my time. Do you know somebody like that? Somebody that thinks that because they have a title or that they have a little nameplate on their desk or something like that, oh, they're all that and a bag of chips. And you're the scum of the world. Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. What thoughts do you let run through your mind, race through your mind? What perversion? Pornography? Movies? Soft porn? Those novels that the ladies like to read and stuff like that? It's all the same thing. Giving into the flesh? You know, we just had 21-day fast. I don't know about you, but the first 3 days of my life with that fast, they're always grumpy. Why? Because my body wants what it wants. And I got to get to a place where I say, no. No. How many of you like that word? No. We don't like it. Like guys, when we go talk to our wives, no. No, you know, no. We're going to go to Burger King. No. Or Wendy's or McDonald's, I got to name them all so I'm not prejudiced to, you know, anyone. Somebody will say I didn't mention their store and then I'm in trouble or something. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standard of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Look, it's not about education and degrees. I'm telling you that from someone who has them. Jeannie and I have enough degrees to be a thermometer. It means nothing. It means I can get a job in that area. That is all it means. It does not mean that I have wisdom. It does not mean that I have common sense. I had a guy that I worked for. He paid an electrician over $100 because his light on the post wouldn't work. And after he changed the light bulb, it worked. Guy still charged him $100. Hey. He's a doctor in music, you know, awesome in music, but apparently the lights don't go on. Just, that was a bad, yeah, all right. And just so that you know, that gentleman and I are very good friends. We don't see each other very much, but he was not very kind to me for over 2 years, and I was kind to him until one night we went to a concert in Boston. We parked in front of my house, and he said, why do you act the way you do? Why do you do that? He says, I know I am mean to you, and yet you show kindness, and you're nice. Your faith. So that's what it is. since the love of Jesus, I'll tell you about my faith. And we did. A nice Jewish guy, still believing for him. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power of his works. Can't put God in our little minds. If you can put God in your mind, he's a little God. Does that make sense? Right? We go, Lord, could you please help me with this? And God's going, that's it? That's all you're asking for? I was going to give you this. And my, now if you can't see me because you're on CD, my hands are way separated like a big giant and you only want a pinch? I'll give you what you want. There's your pinch. Little smidgen when he wants to give you. Because see, we can't fathom in our minds. Philippians 3:15, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. We need to God's principles. We need to think God's principles. We need to think God's way. And sometimes in our life, we don't find out that we have stinking thinking until we're way down life's road and we realize, how the heck did I get here? Like, this isn't how I wanted my life to end up. This isn't the kind of influence I wanted to have. It's because we got this, but sometimes it's only until we're older. How many of us have had older people want to give us wisdom because they wanted us to have a better road in life? I remember Jeannie's grandfather. When Jeannie and I got married, he brought me over, put his arm on me, a little stout man, very muscular. He was in the military guy. And he comes up and he said, Steve, I got one word of advice for you. Now, he didn't say no refunds, no returns, okay, with Jeannie. He didn't say that. He said this. If you don't have the money now, you won't have the money later. Don't use the credit cards. That was his advice he gave me at the wedding. It was like, okay, Grandpa Lawson, cool. All right, yeah. Did we listen? We do now. We didn't then. Samantha, are you listening? Okay. Alec? I'm passing that on from generations. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God tells us what to think about. It is us that let our minds wander someplace else. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is giving us direction about how to speak, how to think, how to act, how to walk. And we're like, hey, I don't need anybody. Look at me. Look at how I'm walking. Look at my children. Hey, that didn't hurt anybody. Hey, look, I did that. Nobody got killed. Hey, look, I did that. A lightning bolt didn't come out and fry me. Oh, you are so deceived. You are so deceived. You see, because you're playing a game with God. You don't realize. Some people go, well, yo, if God's God and he says he is, how come he hasn't come yet? Ever hear people say that? You know what my answer is? He's waiting for you to make up your mind. That's why. He is so gracious. He is so loving. He is so caring. He's tearing because he wants to make sure you make it. He wants to make sure your family makes it. He can come anytime. The word of God says that the thief comes at the night. Because if the master of the house knew when the thief was coming, wouldn't he stand there and wait? Absolutely. So if you know when the Lord's coming. I mean, I think about this. The Lord will be coming on January 28th at 11:59. Can I just tell you, everyone would be partying their head off up to 11:58. And then they would be in solemn prayer asking forgiveness and getting ready the 1 minute before. Right? Well, let me ask you a question. Is that really true repentance? No. It's I want to do my thing, my way, my timing. And then, Lord, if I can squeak you into my schedule, we're good. But he's going to come. He's going to come when you least expect it. Thank you. I love that, Gally. You see, there's some of us here who have experienced just what I'm talking about. I went and visited a lady this past week who totally emotionally broken up. She is filled with remorse and she's filled with guilt because her husband wasn't feeling good and he went to bed and that night he died. And she walked into the room kicking the bed. Come on, get up, lazy. We got stuff to do. Come on, get up. She figured he wasn't feeling good, so she let him stay a little longer. Over 12 hours went by, and she went back. And when she went to him, she realized he had gone. The remorse comes in. She feels guilty because she never said all the things that she wanted to say to him. Like, I love you, and I care about you, and thank you for the place that you have made a home, and thank you for taking care of the family, and for the children. And she kept saying it. I wanted to tell him he was a sexy guy. Because you know what? She didn't say that. I won't even tell you some of the things that she alluded that she would say. She wasn't kind because they were just living life together. You know, I thought, even if Jeannie and I maybe are a little upset with each other, the Bible says that we need to resolve those things so that we can go to rest. It says, do not let your wrath go through the night. It says, come together and to be one and then go to sleep. I usually joke with Jeannie and say, you know, she meets me every day when I go off to work. She greets me at the door and lets me go up. She gives me a little kiss, a little pat. You know what I'm talking about. Sends me on my way. Because I used to say to her, you know what? What if I don't make it home tonight? Stop. Don't talk like that. I'm just saying, what if I don't make it home tonight? What is the last thing you want to remember that we said to each other? Do you want it to be something like, you know what? Well, fine. You know, you want your thing? Well, you do your thing. Yeah, you want separate bank accounts? You get a separate bank account. What? You don't want to go what? It could have been any of those things. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that what I want her to remember the last thing if for some reason the Lord comes or if one of us is taken home? What is the last thing that you want to say to your spouse? A family member. You know what? You may not even be talking. You might be arguing. It's okay to argue. We're not says that we have to agree on everything. That's not what the Word of God says. But you know what? There are people that you're arguing with that you still need to say to them, hey, listen, I know that we're not in agreement, and I know we're probably not going to be in agreement till Jesus takes us home, but I need to let you know I love you. And I'm thankful that you're my brother or my sister or my husband or my wife, my neighbor. Really appreciate you, neighbor. I know I don't get to tell you enough. Do you understand? Because there can be a point where you can't say that and you will wish you did. I have that in my life, that regret. When my grandmother was dying, my dad's mom, on her deathbed, I didn't know it was her deathbed, she was in the hospital. My mom and dad came home and said, your grandmother has requested to see you, only you. I said, well, ma, dad, what does she want? We don't know. She wants to see you. She has something that she wants to say to you. And I said, okay, all right. And I didn't go the next day. She didn't make it past that next day. I have no idea what she wanted to say to me. I'll never know. And so, when the Word is telling us that the words from our own mouth should be those of life, we should be thinking that way. Amen? My message is based on this verse here, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. You know, I was spending some time with Gelly, and 2 weeks ago she said to me this, and I don't know how this came up in conversation. She said, you know everything about a person by the people they hang out with. There's a way that she said it. I can't remember the exact phrase, but it's like people know you by who you hang out with. Did you hear what she said? Tell me who you associate, and I will tell you who you are. That's pretty powerful. Tell me who you associate with, and I will tell you who you are. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Now, right now, I need to tell you that was my introduction. We're only right here on page 3. Okay? Yeah. So we're going to have a part 2. Jeannie and I, we've been fasting, and we do go to a restaurant for date night, and it's a very organic kind of style Chinese restaurant. And there's no MSG, there's no chemicals, there's nothing. And what we order is a dish called green jade. And in it is just broccoli, green beans, and pea snaps, you know, the long peas, all the peas in it. And that's all we eat. And I was wondering about preaching this message to you. And when we were done, they gave us the fortune cookies. And of course, fortune cookies are not on the fast, but doesn't mean you can't find out what your fortune is. I opened up my fortune cookie, and this was, I think it was Friday night or Saturday night. I can't remember which night we went out, which was only like 1 or 2 days ago. I know. I went to bed this morning at 4 because the Lord was just putting stuff in my spirit about this. And my fortune cookie, now think of all the box of fortune cookies. They took out 2, threw them on the plate. Jeannie picked hers first, and I just took the one that was left over. My fortune cookie read this. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Next week, I'm going to take you on a journey because I truly believe that in this world today, there are only 3 ways to think. There are only 3 ways to think. I'm going to prove to you next week that you are in one of those 3 ways of thinking. The choice that you will have to make is that type of thinking the place you want to be. Amen? Come next week and find out, are you thinking? What are you thinking? Amen?
2 weeks.
Oh, man. All right, open up your Bibles. We're going to keep going. No, I wouldn't do that. Amen. 2 weeks. Amen. That's okay. The teen challenge comes in. I want you to be blessed by them. I really do. So in 2 weeks, we're going to get together and we're going to take in a journey. We're going to explore because you need to find out, what are you thinking? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning and that you are preparing our hearts. Lord, this morning was like we are your garden and you are rototilling, I think that's the right word, digging up, breaking up the hard soil, and you're preparing us to receive a seed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Just that this morning you have grabbed our attention to realize there's a lot of thinking that's going on out there, but there ain't a lot of thinking that's right thinking. So Lord, we're going to commit to you to pursue this. We don't want stinking thinking. We need a checkup from the neck up. right? So that, Lord, our thoughts can be your thoughts. That we can align ourselves in your word. That we could take every thought captive that doesn't belong to you and cast that out. So, Lord, I thank you for this time that you're preparing us, that we may receive your word, that we may do your will, Father, as we glorify the name of Jesus, as each and every day we pursue Christ-likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.